And welcome to the NFL Draft.
This is Seattle Sports presentation of the NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick streaming on the Seattle Sports app.
Come on, man.
Round two of the 2024 NFL Draft set to get underway. We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer with you. Brady Henderson will join us at the bottom of each hour, keeping you up to speed on everything that goes on as we sit. Currently, the Seahawks do not have a second round pick. We'll see if anything happens in the way of them maneuvering into the second round for a player that they may have their eye on. They've got six picks remaining. Made their first pick last night, in case you missed it or were out of town. They did not trade out of the 16th spot. They went with a defensive tackle from Texas, Byron Murphy. And if you read any of the reviews from the draftniks, the analysts, everybody around the league seems to be giving them a thumbs up on that. So that's feels like universally praised for that pick. And I think they were just talking to some people last night after the whole thing ended. I think they were very surprised he was there. I don't think they anticipated that he was going to be there.
That ridiculous run on offensive players, man, which was
14
offensive tackles, receivers, and quarterbacks, basically.
First 14 picks, all offense.
So you think about it. You want to go defense, and you know that there's only one team ahead of you. They just must have been just thrilled by that. And again, you know, I don't think it was that bold of a prediction saying that all six quarterbacks would get taken, just because I just think that's what the NFL does. I mean, teams panic.
Dave nailed
the quarterbacks. I made like 14 prognostications, Paul, and I was one for 14.
Oh, you're a mentalist.
That was pretty good, though. He said he thought all six quarterbacks would be taken before the Seahawks picked.
I was hopeful.
I thought certainly four, but I thought Nix would be later. I thought Penix would probably be later.
I felt like we see every year people reaching with quarterbacks, and you know, and you see the hit rate. It's typically like,
Not awesome.
50% or,
we've been talking about 2021, of the five quarterbacks that were taken first, four have been traded.
Yeah.
That's why picking a quarterback, and that's going to happen in this draft. Yeah. I think Williams is very gifted, but we'll see how he plays in the pocket. That's not been his strength. I mean, you can't just always break the pocket to make plays. You know, Daniels, I saw him at Arizona State. I was like, he wasn't a gamer. I mean, he's really slight. He's bulked up, and he obviously had an incredible year last year. But I don't think his two wide receivers at Washington are better than the ones at LSU. So we'll see that, too. And then everybody else has, question marks. I think Penix is probably the most ready, best thrower in that draft.
Yeah.
I didn't think he would. I thought he would be gone before we got there. I didn't think he'd get past the Raiders.
Really?
I think the Knicks one threw me off just because you read so much. But you watch the guy in film, I'm like, he doesn't miss. And I get it, they're only 6 yards, but those 6 yards still average about 15 yards. And so he'd take those if need be. And that's the game today. You know, everybody said, you got to throw it deep. Well, guess what? That's not this league. This league is about crossing routes, what the 49ers do, the Rams have done, and you take shots when need be downfield. So we'll see. And that's why I think this is so incredible, because all six of those guys are not the best player in this draft.
Yeah.
The other players are the best players in the draft, and we got, whatever the math is on that, is, top 10 pick.
Yeah. I thought he was probably thrilled. And then one other guy we looked at, Paul, Spencer Rattler at South Carolina, and that's kind of how I came across that Xavier Leggett kid that got drafted last night. Just watching him, incredible, just a big dude. But Spencer Rattler, kind of a mid-round pick. He transferred from Oklahoma. He got beat out, I think, by Caleb Williams.
He did.
He goes to South Carolina, and like instantly, and this is where I was kind of drawing some similarities to him and Russ. He's taller and Russ is faster, but he was one of those guys that transferred to South Carolina. And I don't know exactly when it happened. I know for Russ, it was right after spring ball. He was elected captain. But this guy was a captain his first year in there, took over the offense and, had a good year. And I'm just wondering if maybe he's like a fourth round projection.
I bet he goes higher than that.
Yeah,
I well, do.
He's also a guy that the Seahawks brought in.
Yeah,
well, to have a conversation.
I mean,
with.
I hope he goes back farther than that. You know, I liked him. I liked his attitude. If you ever watched him when he was interviewed as a freshman when he was at Oklahoma, he had a phenomenal freshman year. And so for Williams to actually go to Oklahoma at that time, everybody, because he was by far the number one recruited kid in high school. Uh-huh. They're like, what are you doing? But he had that self-confidence. And then, you know, he didn't start right away, but, you know, about 3-4 games into the season, they made that switch. You know, it shook, you know, Spencer's confidence. He certainly didn't go to as good a team as Oklahoma was offensively at that time. Mm-hmm. But I thought he righted the ship last year. And I just, there's some guys just kind of have that it fat. You would go. You'd want to go hang out with the guy. Mm. Yeah, you would follow him. Kind of a Dave Craig type, though. Maybe not as obnoxious. Sorry, Dave. Sorry, you know I love
not,
him.
Not as goofy. No. How about that?
But a born. Yeah. But I think he's a born leader, and I think guys would definitely rally around him.
Yeah, Bob is terribly amused by every time we have Dave Craig on. Him and I get in a fight, basically on the air. You know, and then the last
Do you
one.
You get a word in with him.
Yeah, it's hard. One time we started like he just started talking.
Yeah, we didn't even introduce him.
We didn't set
him.
The interview up
yeah,
or anything.
He was talking.
He just starts going. So
yeah, when I see him, Dave, I don't even say how you doing.
Yeah,
he lets me know.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of it. I could understand how after a while you'd probably feel worn down, but just being a spectator and it's like watching a tennis match with him and Dave. I just watch him go back and forth.
Yeah, it's like, do you have to, like, he always calls BS on everything, you know? And I'm like, really, Dave? I mean, I think it feels like he's just taking the opposite side of whatever you're taking.
He always wanted to be our older brother or father, right? And he's still that way. Like, no, you don't want to do that. You know, yeah, you know, so he's always correcting you. But I will say this about Dave. He's definitely humbled himself. He's always been a great guy, but he's a really good guy now.
Yeah.
I find him entertaining.
And he was a really good quarterback. Yeah, I mean, he had an unbelievable career, really.
Played a long time.
Man.
Roger Goodell up there speaking with the crowd, the assembled mat. Look at that.
That's
ocean
amazing.
Of people. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, this is for the second
covered,
round.
What's the covered thing they're in?
This here?
Yeah, is that something they made just for this?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Because I'm thinking, if the Seahawks get it, where's it going to be?
I that's a good question. I don't know where they would put this.
The indoor facility or the maybe down at the X Hall? I don't know.
No, you can't have
it indoor.
I mean,
you're talking hundreds of thousands of people.
You can't do it in a stadium either. You know, you can't do it like at Safeco, a covered area. So you're going to have to create something. It would definitely be somewhere downtown Seattle. You know, it could be on the waterfront that they create. It's in the tunnel.
It is amazing.
they shut 99 down.
It is amazing how big this thing has become, and it gets bigger every year. And I've told Dave this many times. And, you know, when I was working at Sporting News, we'd go to the draft every year and broadcast from there. And it was at the theater in Madison Square Garden. And then they moved it to Radio City Music Hall, where you're just talking about a few thousand people. And it's contained in a theater, and that's how it was. And now with this, to see this, and you're talking hundreds of thousands. It is ridiculous, and now it's become a boon to the local economy in all these cities, and everybody's vying for it. It's like the Super Bowl. They all want it to come to their city because everybody comes from out of town, and the restaurants start popping, and the hotels and rental cars and all the money that gets poured into the local economy.
I remember Mark Cuban when he said, you know, you guys are getting oversaturated. You know, your day's going to come.
Yeah, did he say pigs get slaughtered or something like that? Wasn't that the line he
pigs
threw
pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered?
Yeah. Wrong on that one. You missed that stock because this thing has just expanded and everything they touch.
There's
globally.
Been, yeah. Yeah, now all of a sudden they're going global.
You've been to Germany. We've been to London.
London, yeah.
And it's bizarre how crazy it is when you go there. Yeah. I mean, everybody is
just
there.
The mania around it.
Well, and in Germany, every it seemed like every fan had a jersey, an NFL jersey, and a bunch of different teams, really. But yeah, a lot of Kansas City fans, I believe. But a
bunch
yeah.
of front runners.
Yeah. But it's and you know what? The other thing is there's been some really kind of funny moments. You know, remember the whole drama with Elway and Marino, and they did a whole documentary on it's called Elway to Marino, I think. And my agent, Marvin Demoff, figures prominently in that. Then we played the other day, the it's Tobin. I think he passed, actually, but Indianapolis Colt GM and how he just started ripping Mel Kiper.
Oh, I remember, because they ripped him on the picks. I was coaching at the time, and they were kind of interesting picks, and Kiper crushed him, and he came back and
it was hilarious.
Destroyed him.
We don't have to take anything that Mel Kiper says we have to take.
And just, Mel might have been right on
how
that
does
one,
he
though.
Know? He's never even put on a jock strap or something like that. So,
Dave, good stuff. Do you think that Goodell, he's more endearing now? I actually have learned to like him. I used to not like him at all, but I think this has helped.
Yeah, I think he's stayed on my good side, if that matters to him. But
certainly it does.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does a good job.
Well, he lets him boo him now, and he takes it.
He kind of takes it.
Yeah, he leans into that. Yeah.
And he lets the guys hug him, too. I thought that guy was going to squeeze the life out of him last night. I can't remember with the tackle.
Who was it?
Latham. Yeah, jeez. Yeah. Poor guy.
Well, who's the baseball commissioner that got booed and he took it personal?
Oh.
I mean, Manfred. Yeah, I mean, he was genuinely upset about it. And then Goodell comes out like, bring it on, man.
Yeah.
It's become a shtick now. It's really cool.
See, stop it. Now you're going to make me like Roger Goodell.
He's making 40-plus million a year, so he get paid to take that kind of stuff. Yeah, so the Buffalo Bills officially on the clock as round two is underway. We'll come back, tell you exactly what's going on with the Bills and everything else going on in the second and third rounds, which will take place today. And we've got you covered here. Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer, Bob Stelton with you. Live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
The second round of the 2024 NFL Draft is underway. The Bills have made their selection. We'll let you know as soon as they make that announcement. Defensive back Aaron Williams, who was a second-round pick by the Bills back in 2011, is up there to make the pick for the Bills, and he's saying hi to all of his friends in the stands there before he announces the pick here for the Bills, and we'll keep you up to date on all of this. We'll send you out there on a couple of the picks. We'll keep an eye on the West, the division that the Seahawks are in, when the Cardinals pick, when the Rams pick, and the 49ers pick, we'll send you out there. But they go with a wide receiver out of Florida State, Keon Coleman, 6'3 and a quarter, 213-pound wide receiver, now headed to the Buffalo Bills. So yeah, they lost Stephon Diggs. They go with a receiver here.
Well, and when they traded back and, they lost that last pick, which was a wide receiver, the fastest guy in the draft. They were taking some heat, the Buffalo Bills. So definitely a need at wide receiver. And by the way, Dave, you 1 year, you actually were there and said who a Seahawk drafted, right? Weren't you on a mic where you announced?
Oh, made the pick?
Made the pick.
Oh, yeah. You know who it was?
Who?
Tedrick Thompson.
So it's an easy name. Were you nervous or you were going to mess up the name?
I was nervous, yeah. I was, I had a little...
Where was it?
Script. I just went outside.
Oh, so it was a...
We were on the lake, and, so they were like, okay, 10 seconds, and they came to me. And so I used to always go up to Tedrick, really corny joke, and say, hey, I drafted you. and it didn't work out so much.
Him and Lano Hill, that combo just didn't amount to what we thought it was
going to. Those were the lean years at safety.
Oof. Yeah, that was a little rough there for
you
a while.
Had the starting with Kenny Easley, Paul Moyer. Then, you get Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas, and then Lano Hill for a while.
Tedrick Thompson. So, yeah, that's what happens out there. So, Keon Clark is the first selection in the second draft out of Florida State. Again, wide receiver headed to the Buffalo Bills, and we will continue to keep you updated on everything going on out there. As far as the Seahawks, they sit with 6 picks currently. Now, that doesn't mean they won't make some moves. The 1 year I thought they would make a move. was the year they had three picks. I'm like, now there's been a trade, by the way. So now the Chargers are going to pick the second overall pick in the second round. They have moved up. So we will tell you what that's all about when they make their pick. But the one year, I was like, there's no way John Schneider, Pete Carroll go into a draft and only pick three players. But they did. Yeah. They did. That was the D. Eskridge year, yeah. Trey Brown, Stone Forsythe. Those were the three players they went with. You know, so the idea that there's six left, you feel like John's going to want more, that he's going to try to move around. I wouldn't count on it because he's proven even when they had three, they didn't do anything.
Yeah, I think it really depends. I mean, look, if you can pick up some fifth, sixth round picks, that might be better than – you know, three of those might be better than a fourth round pick, you know, just because it starts becoming a numbers game. There's no guarantees at that point. I've always said, look, after around 16, 17, there's not that big a difference in the second round, the first round. I'd rather have two second rounds than somebody in the 20s, which we were doing all the time.
Right.
It's just really, it's just too close. And then you're starting to get to the point, and this is the tricky part, because I've been, when I was coaching, we're arguing over Joe Stauffenmeyer. Center. Mm-hmm. And they're going, oh, and I'm like, I know, but that safety right there, I promise you, will make our team and probably start in a year or two. I promise you. And he was like a fifth round, you know, we could have got him in the fifth or sixth round. And they said, no, you know, Joe, we need Joe. He's a good player. He'll play for us. I go, but he won't be a better player than the guy I wanted. Now, I'm arguing because I didn't really watch Joe Stauffenmeyer. And so that's what you start getting. You don't get that here. I mean, they've already made that their board. And if we get to this and it's between these players, we kind of know what we're going to get.
Who was the safety pull?
So he went to the Cowboys, and he played for like 12 years. He played at Nevada.
Oh, he was a UNR guy.
Yeah.
And Wolfpack.
He was a really good player. Played a lot of interceptions, started a lot of games. I was right, by the way.
Yeah.
I was definitely right.
Well, yeah, I remember, I think Joe passed.
He did.
Yeah, Joe Toffelmeyer. It was from University of Arizona. He had the oddest body I've ever seen. He had the shortest upper body I've ever
Dave,
seen.
Dave, they got a kicker announcing.
Oh, Rolf? My goodness. I thought you said they were going to pick a kicker.
No.
They have a kicker making the announcement for the Chargers.
That's going to be bad luck for this call.
Who was it? Rolf Bernerski?
Bernerski.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's an old timer. I don't recall hearing his name before.
But I remember that name.
He's making it Rolf. That's a perfect kicker name, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he is making the selection, and another wide receiver off the board out of Georgia, Ladd McConkey, headed to the Los Angeles Chargers, who traded up into this pick. Yeah. So two wide receivers for the first two picks in the second round.
Yep, they got him 5'11", three. You know, in my sheet, it's 6 foot, 186 pounds. They get it to the
What does that mean? They give his attributes. Juicy. Route tempo, inside, outside. What does juicy mean, Paul?
So when we used to write up, I used to love writing up scouting reports on players, but you would do that, you know, good twitch, you know, good change of direction, can plant his foot, good, you know, acceleration to drive, struggles to open up hips. I don't know what it means. Can the guy play football?
Yeah.
Juicy? Juicy?
Davey's
boy,
juicy.
Has it changed since I was writing up reports? Because I'm not saying juicy.
Paul's fitting in on this show just fine, isn't he? Yeah.
What do you think juicy means, Dave?
I have no idea.
Can be squeezed?
No idea.
As a receiver, you want to be juicy. They're putting it up there as a positive attribute.
I would think it would be a negative.
He's like liquid. He can just get in, I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. He is
texters will know. Texters. You guys know all these.
Yeah. No. Our texters are idiots.
Oh, that's good.
It is Friday,
good.
Right?
That's good.
I don't think we're doing mean text.
No
though,
mean text today.
I guess that won't stop them from sending them in.
I thought their Radio 101 was you can't say our listeners. You say our listener because you're talking to you. I'm
singular.
Talking to you.
Yeah.
Right.
You want everybody to feel like it's just a one-on-one.
You're
conversation.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Not all of you.
They got a juicy receiver headed out to the Los Angeles Chargers. So the Arizona Cardinals, who will have the they picked up Marvin Harrison with their first pick in the draft, number 4 overall. So they've got they are on the clock right now, pick number 35. They went with an edge rusher with the 27th pick out of Missouri, Darius Robinson. So we'll see what the Cardinals do.
I bet they get the kid from Illinois, Newton. He's still there, which is weird because he was actually rated ahead of Murphy. He's a defensive tackle, 6'2", 304. It's, you know, he's into the second round. Again, you're just reading what people are guessing on. But
what's your impression of that? Well, now there's another trade is the Falcons. So there's going to be a lot of movement here. The Falcons have moved up into this spot, pick number 35. So it's not the Cardinals on the clock. The Falcons are going to occupy that spot, and we'll let you know who they end up with. But what is your take on the Cardinals organization? Dave and I talk about this a lot, that they have been for probably decades and still remain from the outside. They look to be dysfunctional. Just to, whether you're talking front office, talking about the guys they lean on, they bet on, it just doesn't seem to pan out for them. They don't seem to be able to get it right. Does it start with the Bidwells, and that's going to be the problem?
The organization starts from the top down. I mean, you have to have great owners, great leaders. You know, you got to have your vision, and obviously then pick the right players. But I think they've righted the ship a little. I think they got a chance. I mean, obviously, given Marvin Harrison, you know, Jr., we're going to be seeing him a lot. I think maybe even Kyler Murray's been humbled a bit. We'll see. I thought he played a little better last year than in years previous. They got a ways to go. They're devoid of talent right now. They've got to get some people, but they got some picks yesterday, and they just traded for, it looks like, some more. So that when you start trading back, it usually means we got a lot of spots to fill. So forget the Newton one, Tim, because I don't know. How far back did they drop?
Into the 40s, I think 43.
Wow, that's a drop.
Yeah, 43. They get a third-round pick, though.
That's pretty good.
So they drop down, and they get a third-round pick, and the Falcons, we'll see what prompted them to move up to this spot, 35. Again, the first two picks here in the second round, both wide receivers, one going to the Bills and Keon Coleman, and then the Chargers moving up to take Ladd McConkey, a wide receiver out of Georgia, and the Falcons, who picked up Michael Penix, which was an interesting move. Not that Penix I think everybody believes in his ability, but they've got $100 million guaranteed dollars committed to Kirk Cousins. So that's an interesting move there.
Yeah, I mean, look, last night I was scratching my head too, going, wow, this just doesn't make any sense. But it kind of does. And again, no one's right or wrong in these things, right? I mean, these things play out over time. You know, Patrick Mahomes got picked when Alex Smith had a really good season and signed a pretty good contract. We know, obviously, from Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre. I mean, there's been quarterbacks that were picked and had to sit and wait around a while. I think they just said, hey, we're going to be pretty good. We think that Penix is the second best quarterback in this draft, and we may never get this shot again if they think they're good. And I think they do. They have some talent right now. You're set for 10 years. And the way that contract is, and I get Mia Kimes was dogging one of the guys saying, yeah, but you didn't help them now. I go, yeah, but sometimes it's not always about now. It's about 10 years as well. And you have a chance 2 years from now. You let Cousins go after him, let him still compete. You then either trade or you cut Cousins. You now got 3 years left on a rookie contract. Some people talk about Penix age. I go, age doesn't matter at quarterback.
It doesn't.
You're in your prime at 26, 27 years old. If he was a running back or a wide receiver or defensive tackle, that's a completely different game.
So, Andre Rison up there making the pick for the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm with you on that, Paul, as far as the quarterback. I don't care about the age.
No, and if you believe that, I mean, how did that work for Kansas City? Yeah, pretty good. How did it work for Green Bay twice?
Yeah, having guys sit.
Pretty good. And not just that. Picked him. Who you got there? No, you got twitchy.
You want to take a run at his name?
Yeah, it's
maybe I should do it.
Or Horror.
How's that?
How do you say his first name? Is it Rook or Ruke?
I'm going with Ruke.
Ruke.
You know, me and Rabel, whenever we get the scratches, whenever there's a name like that that gets scratched, we're like, phew, thank God.
Goodness. All right. So the Falcons take a defensive tackle out of Clemson. They move up into that pick, making a trade with the Arizona Cardinals. So now the Washington Commanders are on the clock. We'll keep you up to speed on everything going on in the second and third round happening today as we are live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Round two underway of the 2024 NFL Draft. As our coverage continues live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer, Bob Stelton, and our guy Brady Henderson of ESPN.com has joined us back on set as the Commanders about to unveil their pick. They got the great Darryl Green, 28th overall pick by Washington back in 1983. Is up there to make the pick for
the
Commanders.
Didn't he run like a 4.240 or something?
Didn't Paul chase him down in a game one time?
I did. I woke up.
He's slow though, Dave.
It was like the DK Metcalf.
He took a good angle, Bob.
Yeah, but you know what? They called a penalty on me because I did the thing behind. He pulled his waist down. And
Hip drop.
Oh, you did.
See. I interviewed him when he was, I think, 44, and he told me he could still run a sub 4.4.
That's ridiculous.
That's what he was saying.
Well, if he believes it, that's fine. But I don't. I'm not buying that one.
Who was holding the clock on that one?
I don't know. I think he had it in his hand. He started it after a couple steps. But Brady, there's already been a bunch of movement in the way of trades to start out this second round. So I would imagine that may continue. But a couple of receivers go off the board. And then I don't know if you want to take a swing at that the third pick of the second round.
Okay, I got it for you.
What
it's,
is it?
It's Duke or Rojo.
There's Duke. Where did the D come from?
I think you need an extra Horo
Rook,
in there.
Rook, I'm sorry. It's Rook or Rojo.
I think you're missing a Horo.
Nope. I went on their thing. The beat writers said. And so the OH, this first one, is silent. So it's or Rojo.
Jerzon Newton.
Oh, there we go.
Out of Illinois, defensive tackle headed to Washington with the fourth pick in the second round. Brady, any surprises that the Cardinals traded out of their spot? Because they pick up a third rounder in order to move down to, I think, 43 is where they went. Yeah, 43.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a team that's traded. I mean, they did it in last year's draft in the top 10, and they did it again this year. I think, you know, with Jerzon Newton going here, he is only the second defensive tackle coming off the board, and it happens, at pick number, 36 here? So yeah. I think that's that's another reminder about, why the Seahawks took Byron Murphy as early as they did. I mean, I'm not saying he was at all a reach, but my point is that position is pretty hard to find, and I think they felt very fortunate that a guy like that was available to them. There's just not that many guys, certainly not in this year's draft. If the next defensive tackle isn't getting taken until, you know, the mid-30s, then I think that's a sign that there just weren't that many guys like that at that position available at the top of this draft, and they had to feel very fortunate to get Murphy at 16.
Yeah, I like Murphy athletically better than what I just saw there. That's just a strange body. That was a strange body. But he's pretty athletic and could run, but he just looks like maybe he needs to get in the gym a little bit and shred down a little bit.
He'll be out there with Bobby Wagner in Washington.
Well, Bobby will be up early. I mean, he'll be he'll be up at about 3 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
So he'll be in the gym every day. And, you know, again, wish Bobby well. I just... just think his best days are definitely behind him, and hopefully they do right by him, but not playing him every single down. Because I just
don't you think he wanted that? I felt like he wanted that, and I swear
to be told, Dave,
he had a deal with Pete or somebody. Like, okay, but I'm playing 100% of the snaps because it's ridiculous. I mean, he was in his 12th year, and he played I think 98% or 99%.
Yeah, and from what I understand, that that was not the plan going into the season. I mean, I remember hearing, I think, Clint Hurts say, in training camp, that the plan was not for him to be an every-down guy. Now, they were still planning on playing him quite a bit, but the plan was to spot him more than they did, and for whatever reason, I mean, even early in the season when, I would have thought that Jordan Brooks would eventually – take over as the guy who plays 100% of the snaps. Certainly wouldn't expect it early when he was coming off the ACL tear, but it never really happened. I thought that transition would eventually happen, and it never really did. I think, you know, there was something in Wagner's contract to where he was incentivized to play as many snaps as possible, but that still should be a decision that your coaching staff makes, and that was surprising because it didn't seem like that was the plan.
Well, and somebody told me at one point that he would not come off the field, and I don't think that was here in Seattle, but I was like, wait, how does that work? The head coach isn't in control of him? But that they swore that that was the case, that lots of times he would just wave him off, no, I'm not coming out of the game.
Well, I think if you played him just on first, look, I think last year was there's sometimes you need everybody to see it. And it was pretty evident he can't cover anymore. I mean, he can't be in passing situations for a defense to be successful. But he could still blitz. He could still read
great
things.
Blitzer.
And he could still, you know, had enough speed to still be able to run things down. His change of direction changed. He couldn't change direction anymore. And he couldn't run with the guys. So why would, I didn't for the life of me understand, why didn't they pull him out on passing situations and put a Jamal Adams at one point, or anybody who can cover and break on a quarterback? So that was my thing. And if you can do that with him at just in first and second down, I think he can be more quality than quantity.
It'd be interesting to see how they use him in Washington, if they acknowledge that he doesn't do those things well, or if they're just going to go, hey, this is Bobby Wagner. We're going to let him do what he's done his whole career, what they feel like he's done, even though his skills have diminished. Just an update, another Washington Husky is off the board. Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington, headed to the New England Patriots here. So three wide receivers off the board in the first five picks here in the second round. So Jalen Polk headed out to the New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans. Their pick is in, so we'll unveil that as soon as they do, let you know what's going on there. But do you anticipate with the familiarity, he's got a familiar defensive coordinator out there in Washington, that he's used differently?
You know, no. I think that they'll have talked about that for – look, they paid him pretty good money to go there. You know, my thing is his productivity's not there. I mean, you can't play every snap and not have a forced fumble or recovered fumble and not an interception. I mean, you've got to be productive. It can't be just a gatherer of tackles. And I really like that line, I think, Dave, that you either bump or you created. You've got to be impactful in this game. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a value to him. And look, it's, you know, he shows up. He's a smart guy. He's going to get you probably in the right calls. I think there's a lot to that. And I think maybe if you have a dominant defensive front, which they were pretty good at one point.
Yeah.
Maybe that helps. But the Rams had a pretty dominant front. And again, he was that same person. But he can blitz. And there's some things that you can do. You cannot put him in passing situations more than anything. Can I ask Brady a question?
You do whatever you want. Right, you're Paul Moyer.
No, I'm sorry,
Paul. Go right ahead.
No.
No, I'm just.
Brady said he's not taking questions.
No, I'm thinking
this
about.
This is a man with two phones, by the way.
The NFL.
Sorry, I know it's kind of a weird look, but.
Adam
Work phone, personal phone.
I just do two chips.
Two chips?
No, I'm teasing. Okay. One phone for me. Arizona's trading back, you know, yeah, a bunch. And, you know, they were certainly, you know, shy of talent last year. You know, they still got some decent big names. You know, just where are the Rams better? You know, where are we now? You know, are the Rams better? Are the 49ers possibly, you know, if they lose Ayuk, we'll see what happens. Do they take a step back? Does Arizona close the gap? You know, just your thoughts going into this right now from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, well, I don't think that the talent gap between Seattle and the Rams was as big as it looked on the field. I think the Seahawks got outcoached in those games against the Rams. I mean, certainly the Rams had Aaron Donald. They still had Matthew Stafford, who carved him up in the second half of that first game. And, you know, Cooper Kupp was still there. So it was not a totally talent deficient team, but I think the Seahawks are a lot closer to the Rams than they are to the 49ers. Now, what's happening down in the Bay Area is pretty fascinating, because the speculation for weeks, months has been that, you know, could they trade Brandon Ayuk, who's up for a contract? He's set to play on his fifth year option. Sounds like they haven't made all that great of progress. They've got what is already like a very top heavy kind of salary cap structure, with, you know, the highest paid player or top five paid player at left tackle, tight end, running back. Debo Samuel's getting paid a bunch of money. You know, Fred Warner, one of the higher paid inside linebackers. You know, they had to get rid of Eric Armstead for that reason, because they just had such a top heavy salary structure. And that's, there's speculation has been that, you know, they might have to do that with Brandon Ayuk. But if you pay attention to Mike Silver, who for my money is one of the more plugged in reporters/columnists in the entire NFL media, he's now saying that, no, the plan may actually be to trade Debo Samuel.
Yes.
Yeah, now there would be quite a bit of dead money associated with that. And Debo, as we all know, he's a huge part of the identity of that team. But it does sound like there's a strong possibility that maybe one of those guys gets dealt.
Well, I would take him.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah.
Put him at running back.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
And they drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round. That's the other piece of that.
Yeah, as we see our guy Warren Moon stepping up onto the stage there to make the pick for the Titans, formerly the Houston Oilers. So there's the connection there. But, yeah, we saw them pop up, Ayuk, Debo Samuel, potential trades, and Daniel Jeremiah was up there talking about it, I think. But we'll see what they do. We'll see what they do as the second round continues to roll on. Titan selection being announced. They'll be followed by the Carolina Panthers. We've got you covered from head to toe here on the 2024 NFL Draft. Second and third rounds going on. Brady Henderson will join us each and every hour. So stay tuned here. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Second round action continues in the 2024 NFL Draft. We are coming to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer, Bob Stelton with you. Brady Henderson joining us each and every hour. Just a programming note for the listeners out there. At 5:30, we will turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. But for those of you that want to follow along with our draft coverage, we will continue on the live stream at seattlesports.com. So you can watch every bit of the second and third round picks going down. Seahawks do have a pick in the third round. So if you're interested in staying tuned to that, just head to seattlesports.com at 5:30. Or you can just stay tuned and listen to Mariners pregame at 5:30. Totally up to you. I would just get a screen to watch the Mariner game. You could listen to that, watch it, what have you. But keep the stream going and listen to the draft coverage, because this is A-plus stuff here. This is gold.
I agree. Well, or they could just watch us, and then they could listen to the game.
Yeah.
But I think watching the game and listening to us is probably the right call.
You think the Mariners are more entertaining to watch than the three of us sitting?
You know, I mean, I don't know. The textures, how entertaining are we to watch?
They'll let us know. Don't you worry about that. The Eagles have a pick that is in. They moved up to pick number 40. The Rams just took a defensive tackle out of Florida State, Braden Fisk, Fisky. I'm not sure how you say that last name. Right before that, the Titans went with a defensive tackle out of Texas, Tavondre Sweat, who Brady reminded us had been in the news for all the wrong reasons recently. Perfect fit for Mike Lefkoe's Titans out there. We'll see how things work out. But the Eagles have their pick in. They'll be followed by the Green Bay Packers, the Texans, and then the Cardinals, who moved down to 43 after a trade with the Falcons. So we'll keep an eye on the teams in direct competition with the Seattle Seahawks and the NFC West.
Yeah, and wish them ill.
Yeah, but every one of these guys busts out.
Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier a little bit about Arizona and the franchise and just how it comes from the top down and everything. And there was that article last year about, it was from The Athletic. And so it was very long, very detailed and everything. And I was talking about this yesterday, Paul, I just want to get your take, but it was like, you read a little bit and it was like, big deal, no big deal. And then you read a little bit more and it was like, okay, that's kind of cheesy and stupid. Something about turning the lights off and, you know, having women wear long sleeve shirts, no short sleeve. I mean, just really clown stuff, you know. And then you start, and it like piles up to the point where it's like there's like 20 different stories about how screwed up they are culturally there.
Was one of them you couldn't look at Bidwell or say good morning to him or something like that? Wasn't that?
No, that was the owner of the then Redskins that everybody hated.
Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, there was somebody that works here that used to work for that franchise, and he said good morning to him in the hallway, and his little assistant came back and said, don't address the owner anymore. Like, don't say good morning to him. So, I mean, we all know about that franchise and how that was run there. So, yeah.
There's obviously some bad ownership. You know, and these guys who run these businesses, and then they get these NFL or even a sporting franchise, they're not run the same way, right? I mean, it really is a top down. You got to treat everybody right, you know, to get everybody moving in the right direction. And Bidwell, he's just strange, man. They're strange people. They've made strange hires over the time, and we've been very fortunate. I had obviously the Nordstroms, just class act. And you look at their
business.
Nicest
guy in the world.
Nicest guy. And, you know, their customer service, right? Mm-hmm. Nordstrom still to this day is great customer service, how they treat people. And, you know, they wanted that with the 12s also. And then, you know, we had Ken Behring. And, Ken was just a...
Not a good owner.
It's just, and it probably a little bit how he ran his organization, and it was all about the owner, right, and how they made decisions.
Yeah,
and he made decisions. You know, when you start letting your son think that he knows more about guys who have been in it for a long time, and you start hiring buddies, and that's what they started doing.
Yeah,
he made
his son the GM.
They started hiring buddies, man, and not good.
Least impressive owner I've ever.
And then we get Paul Allen. And again, now we get a professional. There you got Cooper DeJean from Iowa.
DeJean. Yeah, out of Iowa, going to the Philadelphia Eagles with the 40th overall pick.
Yep, that's breaking the mold there.
Yeah,
breaking the mold. Haven't seen one. And
Jason Sehorn.
I worked Jason Sehorn out.
Brian Davis.
Was at U.S. Brian Davis with Coach Brian Davis.
Yeah,
he could run. And wait, look, we're talking about white corners. I mean, you don't see those. And this kid, he can run. He's 4.46, playmaker. And, you know, sometimes you got to get rid of the stigma in positions. And that's happened with quarterbacks and, you know, running backs. You know, now you see McCaffrey. I mean, I think every position, there's still one. And it was cornerback. And, you know, maybe this breaks the mold again and you say, hey, let's just go find good football players.
So there you go. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, cornerback, headed to the Philadelphia Eagles with the 40th overall pick. The Green Bay Packers are on the clock as we speak. We'll keep you up to date on what they do and everything else going on in the second and third round of the 2024 NFL Draft, coming to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Seattle Sports presentation of the NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick streaming on the Seattle Sports app.
Come on, man!
Second round action of the draft continues. 2024 NFL Draft. We are coming to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer with you. A couple of picks happened while we were in the break. We've had three cornerbacks in a row. Three cornerbacks have gone. We had Cooper DeJean right before we hit the break, followed by Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. He heads to the New Orleans Saints, who traded up into that spot, number 41 overall, and they go with Kool-Aid McKinstry. And then Georgia cornerback Kamari Lassiter headed to the Houston Texans with pick number 42. And the Arizona Cardinals, their pick is in. We'll wait till they unveil that. But they traded down to this spot with the Atlanta Falcons earlier. So we'll see who the Cardinals come up with here.
Yeah, they say needs a lot. Cornerback is one of them, though. Defensive tackle.
Is that what it says? A lot.
No, I'm just messing there. But they do. I mean, last year, they just, you know, some of their guys were older. Even Buda Baker took a bit of a step back. I think his was more injuries. And they, golly, man, 3 years ago, they were loaded. I mean, they had talent across the board, defensive line, and it fell quickly for them. So, you know, they've obviously traded back a bunch, one in the first round and a second round to keep picking or getting additional picks. And, you know, I think they've closed the gap too, you know, talent-wise. And when I say that, I go, they've gotten close to the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks have gotten close to the Rams. I would even say I think we may have more talent than the Rams, because when the Rams lose Aaron Donald, that's a big drop. If the 49ers happen to lose, whether it's Ayuk or, man, could you?
I can't imagine them getting rid of Debo Samuel.
Debo Samuel's so valuable.
That wouldn't make it, man.
But he's hurt. He gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But that's a difference maker. And it's also, you know, Matt sets a tempo for their team. I mean, he's so special.
You know, I love what Mike McDonald brings to this this division, because, you know, I was talking to somebody who worked for the Rams and pretty closely with Sean McVay. And over the last couple of years, I guess he kind of cocky sounding, but he was like, I don't worry about the Seahawks. I know what they're doing.
Yeah. Who, McVay said that?
Mm-hmm.
That's son of a gun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and they've they've had good success against
defensively,
this team.
Defensively, because Dave, we know. We know. And again, it worked. I mean, I always tell people, I go, it worked. There was a really good scheme for a long time. The game changed dramatically. And we struggled even back when the game didn't change defensively, protecting the middle of the field, deep crossing routes. We never changed. Yeah. And so he's looking at, I got to believe he's looking at it. If they're not going to change, I know how to beat them.
Yeah.
Well, now he doesn't, though.
Right. And that's why I'm saying Mike McDonald, I love what he brings to the division. Also, you know, with Kyle Shanahan and all the things that, I mean, you got a guy that's like a teacher. He's really smart. And I haven't met him yet. We're going to get a chance, I think, to talk to him possibly later. But he is he's one of those guys that's just, he's had success from the very beginning. Bob and I interviewed a coach that hired him as his freshman high school coach. He had, they went 9-0 and they had, was it seven shutouts or
something
eight shutouts?
Ridiculous. Like, that,
like yeah. His very first job coaching. And, you know, obviously it's high school and it was freshman team or whatever. But, I mean, he just has an idea of how to get it done. And, you know, I wonder how complicated of stuff he was running up with those guys. You know, I remember teaching.
You got to teach it.
Yeah. I mean, I was coaching the sixth, seventh grade team, you know, and I would sometimes get, yeah, we're going to run this cover two. And if this happens, then, and like, no, we can't do that because these guys are 15, 14, 13 years old. So.
Oh, and I went to high school, with Bellevue High School, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to bring my blitz packages in and my schemes. And Butch Gontrau said, he goes, Paul, you got 30 minutes with them a day.
He goes,
what are we? Are we going to play cover two? Are we going to play soft corner? Are we going to play bump? He goes, whatever it is, of those 30 minutes, you better spend 20 of it just teaching them what we do.
Yeah.
We'll do a little game planning later, but this is still about blocking and tackling, and these guys are worried about their pimples because the girl they're going to see in school tomorrow.
Who's going to the dance.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You know what? I got to tell you, Butch Gontrau, one of the better people I've met.
He's amazing.
I had a chance to have coffee with him, and he talked to me a little bit about maybe coaching, and yeah. Awesome guy.
Let's send it out, get the Cardinals pick here. Leonard Davis, second overall pick by the Cardinals in 01, is making the pick. Here he is with the Cardinals, number 43 overall.
Where's all my Cardinal fans at? With the 43rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Max Melton, defensive back, Rutgers.
All right, another cornerback off that. That's four in a row.
I think that's Bo Melton's brother.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, 5'11", receiver from Rutgers.
5'11", 187. So four cornerbacks in a row here.
Well, when you get in, again, you start getting into this part of the draft, they become a run-on positions, right? Just because there is a lot more need in this part of the draft than in the first round. So, yeah, you know, again, Arizona.
you don't take anything they do seriously. Or
I think they're dangerous. We know Kyler Murray. I mean, he's a talented guy. I mean, he's hard to get down. I think we'll have something for him. By the way, Brady Henderson, we asked him about talent. Mm-hmm. He said, you know what? He goes, I don't think the talent's that far from the Rams. He goes, I thought we were outcoached. And I think it's kind of what you were saying, particularly defensively when McVay would come up, you know, against us. And even if they didn't have the best talent, they still were a problem for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, with Mike McDonald kind of, not that Pete was a bad coach scheme-wise or anything like that. I just felt like there was... You know, I always wanted, like, the last 5 or 6 years, I wanted Pete to get back involved with the defense.
I almost feel like, because you talked about when you brought it up to him one point about, well, you know, this is your defense, and he sort of bristled.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's like, not my defense. And
he didn't want to seem like the meddling head
coach.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering if he over-rotated. Like, yeah. I'm going to prove I'm not going to meddle. I'm going to leave this up to Clint Hurt or Chris Richard or Ken Norton, whoever it may be, and I'm just going to be hands-off and let them do their thing, where... Maybe he needed to be more involved because it was kind of a steady decline.
It was.
And the Raiders go with a center out of Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson, headed to the Las Vegas Raiders with the 44th overall pick.
Yeah, we took a look at him, and he was a guy that, he'll flatten some people. I'll tell you what.
6'3 and 3'8", 328 pounds.
Yep.
All you Duck fans, there you go.
But look, do you think maybe he overcorrected a bit? Like, all right, I'm just going to let them do their thing. And I felt like we watched it sort of slowly degenerate in front of us.
Look, Pete, yeah.
I think, because, I don't want this ever to feel negative. We all love Pete. But the one thing he didn't do is he didn't bring in a lot of outside people, right? I mean, we kept Clint Hurt in there, and you kept Kim Norton, and you had Rashard. I mean, you've got to bring outside people and learn new things. And I just remember, when I was interviewing with the Raiders, I knew what I knew. I knew how to put that on the board. I knew if they asked me something, how would we make that adjust? I knew that world. If you don't know that world, how am I going to, I can give in my opinion on it, but I'm not 100% sure. He knew what he knew when the Seahawks, played cover three and they had the kick step, whatever we called it, and it worked. The nuances of today's game, I don't know if he knew that as well. This didn't mean he didn't know X's and O's. So now you bring a guy like Mike McDonald. This is the new world. A lot of the stuff comes from college. Usually is where they try this stuff, and then you get these young coaches. You got to bring those guys in with new ideas, and you got to give them the opportunity. That's how you learn. I remember Chuck Knox telling me, he goes, "You need to leave here. You need to leave here after a couple of years. You need to go learn other schemes from other coaches and how to communicate with people." So I just think that's what it got to. And so now what's Pete going to throw in? We're going to play. And by the way, what did we play last year? I don't know what we were. I really don't. Were we a three deep? Not really. Were we two deep? Were we a quarter? Were we a quarter half? Did we blitz? Sometimes we did. Were we man? Not that much. That's what my take on that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's, I think, going to be interesting is, Mike McDonald might be, you look at the draft choices and signing of Leonard Williams. I think the biggest thing is going to be, it's going to be Mike McDonald and his new system.
I think the first linebacker of the draft has been taken. Edgerrin Cooper.
He's a player now.
Texas A&M headed to the Green Bay Packers with pick number 45. So just over 6'2", 230 pounds. First linebacker of the draft off the board.
He's number 45, and I was picked number 45.
Were you?
And I think that's where the similarities end.
That's where it ends right there.
He's really good, and he can run fast.
The Carolina Panthers are on the clock as the second round continues. We will keep you up to speed on everything happening in the 2024 NFL Draft. One programming reminder coming up at 5:30. On our station here, we'll turn you over to the Mariners pregame show, but the draft coverage continues on the video stream at seattlesports.com. We will take you through the second and third rounds where the Seahawks currently have a pick, so there'll be much to discuss. Stick with us. We're coming back live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Second round action happening as we come to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer with you. Brady Henderson joining us each hour. Again, another reminder for those of you just tuning in at 5:30, we will turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. As they get set to take on Arizona in town. So that's happening. But for those of you that want to stick with the draft coverage, it will remain on seattlesports.com. You can watch all of the draft action as we take you through the second and third rounds that will be happening today. We've got you covered on everything going on there. So a couple of options there. Just a reminder, 5:30, Mariners pregame. Meanwhile, the Giants are, their pick is in, so Jacksonville is on the clock, pick number 47 for the Giants. But looking at where the Seahawks sit, they still have six picks to go. Paul, we probably asked you this last week when you were on, but do you feel like, and it's all subjective depending on how many holes you see on this team. They may have bodies, but that doesn't mean they have their guy,
right?
So I don't know how many holes you see on this team, but do you look at it and say, well, they've got more holes than they've got draft picks. They're going to be filling in. There's going to be some free agents that are going to be difference makers because not every draft pick is going to come in and make an impact, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know if I think that there's more holes in draft picks because I've said this before. I think you have to count on we've had two good drafts the last 2 years, and you got to count on those guys to develop. We talked about Morris and Young, defensive line. So I wasn't thinking, oh, do we have to get a defensive tackle this year? I thought we had the bodies, but we needed some young guys to step up that, you know, were unnoticed last year. I think I really do think we've got to get some linebackers. I mean, you can't go in and just say, oh, gee, these two guys, and let's hope they don't get hurt and play the whole season. You've got to get some people there that they think. I like Rattigan, though. I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, I think he's a pretty good backup. But offensive line, I mean, you would think this is where you got to stack a bit. But look, you got a third-round pick, and then you got a fourth. And then after that, you know, what do? Do you find best player? Do you go for need at that point?
Abe Lucas a third-rounder?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think not only that, but also I just think you can count on a couple of guys, maybe not all of them, but I would say Derek Hall, and I would say Olu. You know, we'll see what happens with Bradford, but that second-year jump.
You'll count on those
second two? Second-year jump, that happens with those guys.
With those two?
Yeah. I mean, or you know, it could be somebody else, but, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, it happens every year. It's just that, you know, you feel naked, right, going in, going, oh, man, this guy's not really a starter. He, you know, we're not good at that position. He's never played before. But if you trust, you know, Schneider's ability to draft – you know, then you got to trust that those guys are going to develop. Because he told us that the other day, Bob. Remember, he was like, it's not just about what you are right now as a player. It's where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that they look at. And he didn't give us all the specific indicators of what he looks for, but maybe we'll ask him that next time we talk to him. But, yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting in that, you know, and I don't know about you, Paul, but I came back my second year, and it was just like a breath of fresh air. I mean, I was like, my rookie year, I was like, I don't think I can play this game. I was terrible, you know, and by my standards anyway, and by Rusty Tillman's standards too.
he let you know.
Yeah. He told me that I look like his grandmother covering a kickoff. And then there were some expletives in there. But yeah, so you come back your second year, and to me anyway, that was where the biggest jump took
place. Yeah, I think second year goes one of two ways. I mean, You some guys take a step back, and those are the ones that often don't get back.
Yeah, they don't make it.
But you're right. The game, obviously, it slows down, particularly if you have the same coach and staff. Just terminology. You're not thinking anymore. You know your role. You know what it's – you go into a film room, you're not sure what they're going to correct you on and what they're going to get mad at you about. The second year, you do. And you try to avoid that, you know, at all costs. And coaching staffs are different. Now, I have had coaching staffs that they really didn't correct if you missed a tackle. What they did is they praised the plays. Look at this. Look at this. Look. So everybody wanted to do that, and they rewarded it. I mean, it was – now, they said, hey, you know, we got to get better in these certain areas. And then I've had other coaches, man, you just hated going in the film room because it was just negative, negative, negative. This is what you did wrong. And it was just their coaching every single play. And the second year, you go, okay, now I know what to expect. And we got guys. I mean, you're right, Dave. I mean, we got to count on some guys. I'm looking at left guard. We literally have one guy in the depth chart. Mm-hmm. You know, so we got to fill some bodies. We're not going to do it all in the draft here. We're going to have to get some, you know, that second wave of free agents. And there's going to be some people that move around after this draft. They go, okay, we got a guy. We're going to start cutting people. Right, that's where that June 1st cut line comes. And if we get John Schneider, that'd be a great question to ask.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, undrafted free agents, Bobo was, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
Baldwin.
They kind of have a handle on it for receivers because they got Bobo, Jermaine Kearse, Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
So
those are pretty.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's always cool to me too. And now you don't count on that. To me, I count on, you know, in a couple of positions, maybe two, maybe three, guys take that second year jump and become, you know, become pros. But getting a free agent, a rookie free agent, that it seems pretty rare.
Well, every year though, wide receiver or. Every year there's a free agent that you go, wow, I really like him. And they know that, well, we'll probably put him on the practice squad. I'm wondering if there's somebody on the practice squad that they have, they're sitting in here, they go, oh, we're really excited to see this guy.
Jonathan Sutherland?
I think, you know, he's one that makes six safeties.
Safety, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if some of these guys pop. As far as defense, you still have Mike Morris, who it'll kind of be his rookie year because he didn't play at all last year. So we'll see what he brings to the table as well. As we continue rolling through the second round, the Bengals have the 49th pick in the draft, and that pick is in. We'll let you know what that is coming up, but we will continue to take you through all of the action of the second and third round. You can follow us at seattlesports.com is where that coverage will continue. Meanwhile, Mariners getting set for action. Their pregame show will come up at 5:30, so baseball fans, you can tune in there, or you can tune into both. You know, keep the stream going.
We might lose Moyer.
SeattleSports.com. Moyer's not going anywhere. Moyer's hanging out with us here. We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.